I felt like prayer needed to be offered. So we took a little bit more time praying this morning. We are going to look at Psalm 119, and I will go ahead and announce that I have prepared my first lesson, if you will, in the book of Jonah. We'll be starting that in April 11th. Will be our first lesson in Sunday school. But today, we're going to go back to Psalm 119, and one of my favorite passages of Scripture is Psalm 119. Now, verse 52 is where we covered that last week, but I want to read that because it leads into the next verse. He said, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. As David thought about the righteous judgments of Jehovah, he was comforted that God is just and that God is righteous. But his heart was also breaking and troubled. He thought of the reality of sin. Not just sin in general, but sin in men and women and boys and girls. And he thought of the whole world lying in wickedness on the broad road of destruction. Multitudes who come forth out of their mother's womb speaking lies with a carnal nature that is opposed to God, that does not have the mind of God, doesn't have any affection for God, that are, instead of seeking God, men are running from God. They are filled with iniquity. They are defiled by sin. And as a consequence, they will be judged, punished for all eternity. Horror hath taken hold of me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. To forsake the perfect and holy law of God is a terrible offense. It means that you are guilty of idolatry in affection and desire because you have put other things before God. It means that you have blasphemed His name by taking it in vain. And people may do that without ever expressing that, just by waking every day and not giving God glory for who He is, not recognizing His majesty and power, desecrating not just the Lord's day, but every day, dishonoring their parents through waywardness and wickedness, thoughts of murder, and even acts of murder. And let's get this straight. If you kill somebody, that is on you. It's not on a gun. When Cain killed Abel, God did not call for the stone to be condemned. Let's think reasonably. You know, one of the major problems in our world today is people are trying to rename sin rather than identifying it for what it is. If you kill somebody, you're a murderer. If you do that with forethought, it's premeditated murder. And today they want, oh, it's mental illness, it's this, it's that, it's sin. It's wrong. And I'm going to tell you, the farther you get away from God's law, the farther you get away from the principles of His Word, you cast those things off, everybody's mentally ill. Because of depravity, and because of sin, and because of ungodliness. It's a crying shame to think that someone would purposely take another's life. It's troublesome. Kids play those killing games all day long. Those video games, not a word is said about that. 3,500 children are going to be killed today in their mother's womb. Not a word said about that. We live in a culture of death. People are taught, young people are being taught they're animals, that they have no accountability to God, that they've just come from an evolutionary process, and people wonder why there's so much anarchy and chaos and hatred. Thou shalt not kill. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Why do people purposely kill? They're forsaking God's law. That's why. Their minds are at carnal enmity against God. That's why. And we need to pray that God will save people. I'm not a psychologist. I don't have worldly answers to these problems. But I can tell you what, you've got to identify sin and recognize it as such and be concerned. The wicked have forsaken God's law. Thou shalt not commit adultery, and I take that to mean all kinds of sexual sin. Anything outside of that which God has ordained, the marriage bed, everything else, is unwholesome, impure, and ungodly, and will be judged. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You cannot normalize perversion and deviancy and be lined up with God's law and His truth. God will judge it. David said, horror hath taken hold upon me. Covetousness. People have made possessions and money and wealth and prestige and power. They covet it. They live after it. They lust after it. It's their life goal to achieve it. And it's made our world one that is a cesspool of covetous lust. People never being satisfied or content. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. See, to forsake God's law means you will spend an eternity in the lake of fire as a righteous judgment for such an offense. So when David saw people worshiping idols, desecrating the Sabbath, dishonoring their parents, lying, stealing, coveting, it troubled him greatly. I fear that people today are being so manipulated by mass media, social media, television, radio, that they don't even see sin as sin. People have come to accept everything as the normal course, when it's not normal. Much of it is perversion and deviancy and ungodliness, and no one ever says a word about it. David knew that they were sinning against God, and he knew that judgment awaits them. Sin is a horrific thing. The punishment of sin, it can never be repaired. If you die in your sins, you're irrecoverable. That's why we're to take the gospel to every creature. You look at all the way through the book of Acts, the simple message was, you're sinners. You're broken. And I've got the only answer: the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They preached that so fervently that they were persecuted. They were hated. They were despised. They were maligned. They were imprisoned. They were even put to death. But they never stopped. Oh, that God would burden us for the lost. That the thought of just one sinner going to everlasting burnings would trouble us. Yet it seems as though we grow so cold and apathetic concerning the destinies of our fellow man. May God stir us up to preach the glorious gospel to sinners in hope of their deliverance. And let us not become accustomed to believe that sin is any way right or normal. Woe unto them that call darkness light, and light darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. That's what's going on in our world today. I just finished reading a small biography of David Brainerd, missionary to the Indians in the 1700s. He said this: I have had clear views of eternity, have seen the blessedness of the godly in some measure, and have longed to share their happy state, as well as been comfortably satisfied that through grace I shall do so. But oh, what anguish is raised in my mind to think of an eternity for those who are Christless, for those who are mistaken, and who bring their false hopes to the grave with them. The sight was so dreadful, I could by no means bear it. My thoughts recoiled, and I said, under a more affecting sense than ever before, who can dwell with everlasting burnings? Horror had taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. If you're born of God and you're washed in the blood of the Lamb and you're forgiven of your sins, you have a new nature that sets you apart from this world. And I pray that God would stir us to be more concerned for the ungodly and their soul. Until Jesus comes, help us to be faithful witnesses that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.